It's already been good that we've been here. To blend our voices together to sing these songs, Micah, thank you for the very capable job. And leading songs about faith, of what we're going to be talking about tonight. Turn in your Old Testaments to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. We're going to be talking about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Or better known to most of us as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or Abednego, however you want to pronounce it. Some 6 centuries before Jesus came to earth, God's people were in a world of trouble. His prophets had already prophesied concerning their destruction. There was going to be 70 years of captivity, such as this nation has never seen. But we're heading in that direction. We're doing the things that they did to destroy themselves, and the Lord's long-suffering doesn't last forever. I had hoped to talk tomorrow night about living in an ungodly nation, but my thumb drive, where all my brains are, has locked up on me, and so we'll not be able to do that lesson. We'll probably talk about the Apostle Paul, another pretty good character. But these 6 centuries before Christ came, God's people, well, Hosea had said, and Isaiah had said in different ways, that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And what destroyed them then is destroying us now. The church of the Lord is in trouble in some places because the lack of teaching. Biblical teaching. Teaching that keeps us in the old paths. Well, we read in verse 4 that Nebuchadnezzar had chosen the kind of people that he wanted to take back from Judah to Babylon. And here is what is said. Daniel 1:4. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So these were teenage boys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not a whole lot of credit is given to teenagers today. But we read about David as a teenager. What did God do to him as a teenager? Anointed him as the next king. How about Joseph? Did he handle some responsibilities and problems in his life? Shake your head this way. Yes, he did, as a teenager. Ah, but these children are too young today. They couldn't. Yes, they can. Those young men and young ladies in the Old Testament were given duties and responsibilities in their youth. And they were taught in their youth. I'm so glad to see you, Micah, leading singing. Your parents, your grandparents, and this old man here. Good to see you. Waiting to see you. A lot of things that teenagers are out doing tonight that are not good. But this was good. This is encouraging. You're letting your light shine, and all of you. And sitting up here and me sitting back there and hearing you guys sing up here, that's great. And the rest of you back there, that's one reason we like to sit up front so we can hear the tabernacle choir behind us singing. And that's great. If you understand my meaning. But it says in chapter 1 and about verse 8 that Daniel had purposed in his heart. We have to purpose in our heart too, don't we? We have to be determined that the devil is not going to take us. He's not going to overtake us. He's not going to lead us down that wrong path. And we have examples, as we've said almost every lesson, that as Paul said in Romans 15:4, the things which were written aforetime were written for our learning. We can learn from these Old Testament scriptures and these Old Testament heroes. We know what Daniel did in chapter 2 and in the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar said? If you don't tell me my dream, I'm going to kill you. Well, Daniel and the boys prayed to God and they thanked God for the answer to that prayer. By the way, that's a good thing for us to do. When we ask God to help us and He helps us, get us through some problems and difficulties, do we take time? Do we Remember what Jesus said, where are the nine? Sometimes I get among that nine and I fail to thank God for what He's done for me. I need to count my blessings. The interpretation of that dream and the telling of us to us that we now know after four kingdoms and that there's going to be a kingdom come, and you and I are all us, of us as Christians are able to be a part of that kingdom prophesied so long ago. Not an accident. Not an uh-oh, where, as our premillennial friends tell us, well, that God didn't know that the Jews were going to kill Jesus, so He said, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, let's have a church age. They've told me that. God didn't know that the Jews were going to kill Him. What did Peter say in his sermon in Acts 2? Yes, God knew. It was predetermined. It was planned already. But He did not make these men do what they did. They did it on their own volition. We come down to chapter 3. And these three boys have already been raised in verse 49 to a high position of power. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. All four were very high up politically. Then verse 1 of chapter 3, we find that their faith is going to be challenged. And I want to tell you, with every point in this lesson, I want you to put yourself there. I want you to walk in the shoes of these boys. And what would you do? Well, you know what I say? Boy, if I'd have been one of those boys, I'd have stood right there with them. Sure would. I tell you, you do then what you're doing now. If you can't stand in trial and temptation, then you wouldn't have stood back then. You would have caved. You would have given in. So here comes the challenge. Nebuchadnezzar the king, and oh, by the way, when the king made a statement and told you something was going to happen, it was going to happen. We will see that this king had a little conscience, but he still was going to do what he said he was going to do. And it wasn't going to be 10 years on death row, was it? You're not going to get a lawyer and bargain, uh-uh. So let's see what he says. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Some have suggested it's about 90 feet tall, covered with gold. Can you imagine that? Something 90 feet tall and you covering it with gold? You'd be pretty wealthy if you could do that, wouldn't you? Then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 2, the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Religion is used here for political purposes. So everybody's all called together, all the higher-ups. When I was a little boy in Peoria, Illinois, they built a big bridge across the Illinois River. And you know who they called? Not me. They called the mayor and the governor and all the, just like here, the princes and the sheriffs and the counselors and whoever. But old Mo was left out, okay? They were going to be told what to do about this new God they were going to have, and we'll read about that. Then verse 3, the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. What a throng from all the provinces. Not just 20 people. But thousands would be gathered there. This is what he wanted, because you're going to take this message back to your people and tell them what I've told you to do. And this is the rule. And whoso, verse 4, the herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of, and you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. You got the punishment? We don't punish people that way today, do we? We don't cast them into a burning fiery furnace. We hardly do any punishing at all except put them in prison. Therefore, verse 7, at what time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people and all the nations and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Here's the challenge. What are you going to do? If our government makes a rule that is contrary to God's law, what will you do? In this quiet and peaceful building, I think we could raise our hands and say, if our nation or if a nation overcomes this nation and begins to rule like this and tells us you will do this or you will die, then we will die. We do not want to compromise and give up our souls, eternal destiny, heaven, for punishment here on earth. So there's the challenge. And now, we began in verse 8, their faith is going to be accused. The law has been made, and now it's going to come down to you. If you're one of these boys, what are you going to do? Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans or the Babylonians came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all the kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. If I'm the king and I'm sitting on my throne, I'm saying, yes, that's the law I've made. And they continued, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Yep, that's the law. Well, verse 12 says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now he knows who you are. Listen. He knows who you are. You have refused to bow your knee before this golden image. Watch the punishment. Burning fiery furnace. When? The same hour. You are dead. They didn't go in there and say, well, we know three boys, we're not going to tell your name. No. They announced who they were. They had the proof. And I'm certain, and perhaps by the judgment of the king here, he might have seen the jealousy of these Babylonian politicians. That these three boys were set in places that they should be. You get rid of them, then I'll take their place. Does that happen today in politics? Yeah. So they were named. So their faith was challenged. And now their faith is accused. And now their faith is going to be threatened beginning in verse 13. See, you don't know yet, but your name has been brought before the king. And then you are going to be brought before the king. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought them before the king. You think they knew why? Shake your head this way. Yes, they knew why. They sure did. Did they know what was going to happen? They sure did. How would you feel? You are brought before the king. The mighty king that has the power of life and death in his hand. And you will not live another night. Remember in Luke chapter 12? The rich man that said, oh, you've got many years, much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. God said, "Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." In the very same hour, he called them in his rage and fury. Nebuchadnezzar, verse 14, spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and other? Is there jealousy, envy that's done this? And is it true? Is it true?" I give him credit for that. "Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" Going to give you a second chance. "Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made." Okay. I'm testing you. "But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Did he know a God that could do that? Could save anybody from a fire? No, he did not. Every nation that he had attacked, he had destroyed their gods. Burned them, beat them, melted them. And they were his. No God can save you from what I'm going to do to you if you don't bow. So their faith is threatened. You're one of the boys. What are you going to do? You're going to die this hour. I might have grabbed Shadrach's coat and said, "You know, who's going to know? We're so far from home. Who's going to know? Just say, you know, God, you know, and we know that this big tall thing, it's nothing. And so if we bow before it, we know it's nothing, and you know it's nothing. So what'd God say? Thou shalt what? Not. Read Exodus 20. You don't make them. You don't bow before them. You don't give them any attention at all. What did Moses do to the golden calf that Aaron made? Melted it, didn't he? Made it into powder and poured it into their water and made them drink it. They still went back to their idol gods. You're a young boy. And you're as good as dead. You haven't read, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. You haven't read the rest of this. You don't know what's going to happen. But you know what? You don't care. Folks, we're going to talk Wednesday night, the Lord willing, about being homesick for heaven. If you've ever been homesick, you weren't where you wanted to be, were you? You weren't where you wanted to be. If heaven is where we want to be, and somebody says, "I'm going to take you there quicker," heads I win, tails I win. Thank you. I'm going to kill you. Good. That was one thing the first century Christians, they couldn't understand about how happy they were. They could march to their death singing praises to God. What's wrong with these people? Because that's where they were going, to heaven. Thank you. No more of this. No more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow that this life brings constantly. What did we say before? What did Paul say? "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." What a gain. Great is your reward in heaven. You're going to hear that again. If that's where I want to go, "Oh, but I'm only 17, I'm only 16, I'm only 68. I want to see my grandchildren." Oh, then I'm not homesick for heaven, am I? Mm-mm. You know, if I died right now in this pulpit, would they take care of themselves? You betcha. Would life go on? Would the world continue to spin if the Lord allows it? He sure would. That's right, Arlene, he sure would. Sure would. One of these boys, you're one of them. You're standing there before this King. and he's not exactly happy. Nobody, but nobody, even if you are high up in his command, you don't disobey this king. And what if you do and you allow it? Remember what they said about Vashti? If we let her get away with this, then everybody in the kingdom is going to act like her. And he knew that. What God will deliver you out of my hands? And his answer was, nobody. No God. Listen to their answer. They said, in essence, before we read it, there's no need to argue about it. Listen to this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful, we're not worried, we're not anxious to answer thee in this matter. We don't have to get in a huddle and say, boys, what are we going to do? What do you think we're going to do? Should we give in to it? They already made up their minds. The vote had been cast. It's over. We're not worried about you. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king, either way. Alive or dead, he will deliver us out of your hand. Heads we win, tails we win. Burning fiery furnace. You ever hear somebody say, you don't scare me. Well, what's that do to that other person? Makes them even more mad, doesn't it? Well, oh, sure you. He is able. He can do it. But if not, be it known unto thee, verse 18, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Could you tell that to the king? If you were not the speaker, you were one of the other two of those boys, whoever it was doing the speaking, would you be saying, sir, right with him. You the man. Excuse me, King, can we talk later about this? What would you do? How are you doing today? With the challenges you face today, you knuckling, you buckling, you caving in to the pressures? Were they walking by faith? Check it this way. Were they walking by faith? Yes, they were. But if not, if he chooses not to save us, we're not going to worship your big old God. You know what David said, Psalm 115, about these gods? They have eyes that can't see, mouth but can't talk, feet but can't walk, and they're as dumb as the people that make them. I think one translation said, stupid. The prophet said, you cut down a tree, you cut it up for firewood, and the rest of it you make a god out of it. But they're smart people, ain't they? Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, let's just say we've made this thing here a piece of wood. That's all it is. We make it our god. Yes, sir, that becomes our god. You know what we'll do to it? We'll paint and powder it, won't we? And we'll put gems all around and paint it real pretty. And we'll have lights on it all 24/7. So when you come in this building, there's our God. What's this God going to say? We'll have Joe come up here and stand or sit here by it for a while and listen until this God speaks to him. How long is he going to have to wait? We'll be bringing him food, won't we? Before this thing talks. It's not going to happen. So who's going to make the rules if this is our God? And we can make it 90 feet tall and cover it with gold, maybe probably paint. But it still is not going to help us, is it? So, you know who's going to make the rules? Us good old boys are. You women are left out. You don't have a say in it. We're going to make rules, and we're going to make fun rules. So with idolatry, the second I always comes as immorality. Because man makes the rules. Whenever man makes the rules in any religion, it is immoral. pardon me, but try on Catholicism. Man makes the rules. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine to the commandments of men. Idolatry every time brings immorality. Do they have problems with it? Shake your head this way. And a lot of it we don't know. But when you worship things like this, that's exactly what happens. These boys knew that even in their teen years. Well, how's the king going to feel about it? Their faith has been challenged, their faith has been accused, their faith has been threatened, and now it has come to the test. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As we said earlier this week, you don't have to ask somebody if they're angry. Young people, you never have to ask mom or dad, are you mad? And you knew, we've all known if somebody's mad at us, didn't we? It says the form of his visage was changed. Sometimes it can change in a heartbeat, can't it, Don? Yes, sir. They have just told him to put up and shut up. Because they're not going to worship his God. And he commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 more times than it was. In other words, as hot as you can make it. You throw another log on that fire. And if I can attempt to be a Norman Rockwell here, here's something like what their burning fiery furnace looked like. Had a hole in it here and a chimney in it up here for the smoke. And he said, I want you to get this thing as hot as you can, as hot as I am, in other words, he would say. As hot as you can make it. And cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then, verse 21, these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. One of the commentators said, I don't know if this is so. So they usually put them in prison guard and garb, and they kept their clothing as spoils if they were anything worth anything. But it was to be done so quickly, they just tied them up. Therefore, because the king's, verse 22, king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His strongest men, he lost them. So who's the loser? These mighty men that took them up to throw them down into the fiery furnace. Think about walking up this. Can you hear the fire? Can you smell the fire? Can you feel the fire? Even Abby's saying, hot, hot. Yes. Yes. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, flame of the fire, those men that took them up died. 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They fell down into that fire. And now, it all changes. Triumph. We have not triumphed yet. We have not gone to heaven, but that day will come. Will we have triumphed then? Will it have been worth whatever we have to endure here to go there? Yes, sir, it sure will. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, amazed, and rose up in haste. Well, he was sitting down, right? He had a front row seat right here. He rose up in haste. Well, what did the man see? He spake and said to his counselor sitting behind him, no doubt, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And the smart men, yep, we did. True, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men. And listen to this. How were they thrown into the fire? Bound, tied. I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You think God doesn't love us? Doesn't care? He didn't know what was going on there? He knows what's going on right here. He knows what you are thinking, what I am thinking, what I've done today, what you've done today, what you will do tomorrow. And the people on the other side of the world, the same. Is He the Almighty or what? Does He deserve all praise and glory? Read the book of Revelation 4 and 5. The Lamb of the tribe of Judah. Yes, sir. Their triumphant faith, we cast three, I see four, loose, walking around. They have... walking around in the fire. I used to be real brave. We'd burn leaves when we could before the law would change. And I'd rake them all up. And my big thing was to run, jump across the fire. You know what I never did? Jump into it. Look at this, Mom. Look at this. Oh, smarter than that. But what were they doing? Loose. Wrote about 20 years ago about an air-conditioned furnace. Here it was. Used to work at Caterpillar Tractor. They had these heat-treat furnaces. You ever worked near one of those? Every once in a while, I'd be walking by and they'd open that door. And I remember standing there and looking inside about 20 feet away and listening to that fire. And think about being in there. And without God's protection. And for an eternity. Let's see. Don't want to do that, do you? Don't want to go there? Pretty easy question, isn't it? So they're loose, walking around, not looking for the exit, though there is one. Then Nebuchadnezzar 26 came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then, underline that word, then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. What'd that do for God? Were they letting their light shine? Yes. Do we let, even if we die for the Lord, are we letting our light shine? Were those Christians that sacrificed to the lions, that were burned alive, that were crucified, that were sawn asunder, that died in ways you don't even want to know, did they glorify God? Yes, they did. And poor little me. You ever have a pity party for yourself? You need to get over it, don't you? Just look around. Anybody worse off than you? You don't have to look far, do you? No, you don't. Come forth and come hither, and they did. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Burning leaves, you walk by somebody burning leaves, you're going to go into the house, somebody says, they smell it. You just walk by it. But the smell, even though they were walking around in there, loose, in that burning, fiery furnace. And I tell you what, first thing goes is hair. I know that's so. Lighting a water heater. Poof! I guess that maybe where my hair went. I don't know. And I said, what's that awful smell? Till I looked in a mirror, then I saw it was gone. Eyebrows, eyelashes. Whew. Not theirs. No one touched. Not even the smell of the fire up had passed on them. Then, in their triumph, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. There you go. When you're challenged, young ladies with a prom, what are you going to do? Oh, everybody's going and I'll be an outcast if I don't go. Here, drink this. You won't be a friend if you don't. You can't hang with us if you don't. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Oh, but I'd have been right with those boys. Mm-hmm. You got to know what you're going to do. You got to know what you're going to say like they did. The challenger will come in various ways. It'll probably not be a burning fiery furnace for you, but the devil will make sure you face your challenges, your threats, your accusations. How are you going to come out? Go along with, like we suggested in Proverbs 1, my son, if sinners entice thee, what? Verse 10, consent thou not. That's right. Don't go, because if you go, you're going to wish you hadn't. Were they triumphant? Yes, they were. Even the king blessed their God, that this God had delivered, this God that he didn't know anything about, that trusted in him and have changed the king's word.